Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday night, January the 17th, the final Thursday before the launch of the 2013 NHL season. You're listening to Off the Crossbar Live, where the hockey talk is real, and so are all of our wives or girlfriends, in case anybody's got anything on the side. We don't, because we're really not that cool, and we're surprised to even have the wives that we do. My name is James. You may recognize me as the guy who talks first. Joining me this week, nobody, actually. Adam and K-Ross, they're off in the world of hockey themselves. The men with no name, they're doing something tonight. So you get just me. It's not going to be a full 2 hours. Might not even go the full hour. Who knows? I'll do maybe a little bit of a season preview this evening. Maybe we'll get my wife over here. Talk to her about hockey. She'll be confused. You never know what's going to happen, especially when I'm alone on a microphone. It might be a good time had by all. So how about we get this thing started and we go off the crossbar. So as I said, we are January the 17th today or tonight or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Chances are you're listening on the Friday, maybe even the Saturday. But it is our last show before the start of the brand new NHL season. That kicks off this Saturday, actually. Everybody here in the city of Montreal, they're all pretty stoked because, well, the Leafs are in town, and that always ends up being a good game, despite the fact that I don't think really either team is all that good at hockey at the moment. You know, everyone's just excited to have the NHL back, or as everybody likes to call it, hockey. You know, despite the fact that hockey hasn't gone anywhere ever, and it probably never will. But hey, you know what? The NHL is back. And if you want to get my full thoughts on how I feel about that, there's a piece up there on offthecrossbar.com that you can go check out right now. My thoughts on the whole hockey and how it's viewed in this city. Essentially, what it boils down to is Montreal is the worst hockey city in my mind anywhere ever. I know a lot of people here in this city will think, "Oh, it's a great hockey city." No, it's not a hockey city at all. It's a Montreal city. But that's a whole other debate that I'd love to get into when you know, K-Ross and Adam are back in. Well, maybe not in studio with me, but at least back on the show. As I said, those guys are off. They're doing some hockey of their own right now. Hopefully they can pick up the W, because if they're going to miss, a show for a game, they better at least win the damn thing. So good luck to those guys. In the meantime, stuff has happened this past week in the world of hockey. We're not necessarily your go-to source for all of your news, but man, some pretty big stuff happened. The NHL and NHLPA totally came out and said, you know what? Instead of having guys stay at home and not do anything for the year, let's let the NHL buy. Let's let their teams buy them out early, which is actually kind of funny that it was the NHLPA that brought that issue to the NHL, despite the fact that it was the NHLPA who specifically put in the new CBA that compliance buyouts could only happen next year and not this year. So, like, they've already kind of gone back on a thing that they've themselves put into the CBA. But I don't even really want to get into CBA talk at this point. We did enough of that on this show and everybody in this city. Yeah, they did well too much of that. But so, yeah, the compliance buyouts could happen this year instead of next year, but they do still count as the two compliance buyouts that you get for next year. It's just that you could do it earlier if you felt like it. And so obviously the big name for everybody here in the city of Montreal was Scott Gomez, was basically waved and said, okay, we're going to buy you out ASAP because we do not want that contract here with us. We already had plans on buying you out, but, you know, you were just going to sit at home all year because we didn't want you to get hurt. Because as everyone knows, you can't buy out someone's contract if they are, in fact, hurt. So, you know, good old Scotty, for as vilified as he was in this city, and rightfully so, you know, dude was making a ridiculous amount of money and completely not even coming close to performing to that amount of money. But you cannot fault the guy for signing the money that he did. If, you know, somebody wants to offer you $10 million a season, you'd be kind of stupid not to sign it. And, you know, so that's what Gomez did. And that was costing, well, the Rangers at the time, quite the big cap hit. And then, thankfully, Glenn Sather was able to find somebody essentially dumber than him to take on that contract. But, hey, you know what? New brass here in Montreal, Marc Bergevin, he's not going to stand for that. And Gomez cleared waivers today as of noon. So we can expect the official buyout, I'd say, to happen any point now. Subsequently, Wade Redden as well of the New York Rangers also placed on unconditional waivers and cleared them today at noon at the same time. So Wade Redden will also, I'm going to guess 100%, be purchased out by the New York Rangers, making both of those gentlemen free agents to go sign wherever they want. So Scott Gomez is still going to make his I think he was, scheduled to make $5 million this year, but still carried a cap hit of about $7.3 million. So he's going to make about $5 million from the Canadians, because he still gets his full pay for that. And then I'd be shocked if he isn't able to sign somewhere for about $1 million, something like that. Or at least, you know, something close to that, maybe a one-year deal at $1 million. I'd actually like to see the Oilers pick him up. I know a lot of people would be like, what? Why would you do that? Because for what everybody wants to say about Scott Gomez, he's still a pretty quick little dude, and he can still pass the puck, like, really well. It's just that, you know, nobody on the Canadiens was able to put the puck in the net after he gave them the puck most of the time. And the Oilers have plenty of young little dudes over there that could probably put the puck in the net. I think, you know, you pick him up for $1 million, put him on, like, your third line or fourth line or something like that, because, you know, who cares if you're paying him that much money? You can sit him on your third or fourth line. But I think he'd be a really good right winger on a power play with Justin Schultz on the back end like that, with, you know, the multitude of snipers that the Oilers have at this point. I think that'd be a pretty good fit. And because no one's here to agree with me or deny that, then we're going to just say that's an off-the-crossbar fact right there, because we haven't given out too many off-the-crossbar facts in a while. Wade Redden, at one point, I would have enjoyed seeing him with the Oilers, but, I haven't seen anything from Wade Redden in forever, so I don't know just how good a hockey player he is at this point. Clearly not good enough for the Rangers lineup, but, you know, the Rangers being pretty much one of the top teams in the league, you have to be damn good to crack that lineup. So, you know, I could see a middle-tiered team taking a chance on a guy like Wade Redden. You never know. Maybe the Flames will pick him up because they just give a lot of people a lot of money for no reason. But, you know, that's the Flames. and then also happening today, because both of those guys were put on waivers yesterday and cleared them today at noon, the Toronto Maple Leafs actually putting forward Tim Connolly on waivers. He's actually in the last year of his contract with a cap hit of $4.75 million. Last season, Connolly played 70 games with the Leafs with 13 goals and 23 assists. So, you know, not obviously the greatest season in the world. Tim Connolly's had some good years in him, whether they're still there. I know he's had some issues. I believe it's his back. I wish Kairos was here. He'd totally be able to confirm it on that one. But I think Tim Connolly's been having back issues and whatnot over the course of his career. So his time in TO probably done. If somebody's going to pick him up, again, it'll probably be on the cheap. That was a that one felt like it was a clearinghouse of a Brian Burke deal gone wrong, which there have been, you know, a couple of those in the past, and Dave Nonis taken over there. in Toronto. It's been a crazy, crazy week all around. Not necessarily in the world of hockey, because, you know, here in Montreal, all kinds of stuff happens. Our CFL team just lost our head coach. I'm not an Alouettes fan anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me. Although there's been a lot of talk on ESPN lately that Tim Tebow should totally be heading up north to the CFL. And as I found out recently, that it's actually the Montreal Alouettes who own Tim Tebow's rights in the CFL. So if that were to happen, I may have to become an Alouettes fan, because that'd be pretty awesome. So we'll keep you posted on our CFL Tim Tebow watch, because you never know what's going to happen with that guy. My wife is coming over here with, I don't know what she's, she's got something here. What do you got?
We got to say why you're such a big Tim Tebow fan.
Oh, okay. Well, one, because I honestly think he's a better football player than what everybody else seems to think, especially everybody in the New York Jets organization. But also because when my wife, my lovely wife, who I can prove is real right here, by the way, say hi.
Hello.
You're not some fake girlfriend or wife that I made up to go along with some story, are you?
If not that baby watch program.
Yeah. So my lovely wife is referring to the fact that when we went for our first ultrasound to find out whether or not we were having a little dude or dudette, the picture of our son that we got, he's totally actually doing the Tim Tebow pose. He's got his arm, you know, pulled up to his forehead, just over like on his face like that, and immediately you see the Tim Tebow on that one. So since then, been even more of a big fan of Mr. Tebow. Because despite what everybody may think about those of us up here in Canada, if you are currently listening in the United States, myself, I guess I might be considered an anomaly up here. I watch a crazy amount of college football. My wife can back me up on that one. I'm a big college football fan.
It's true.
And so I was a fan of Tebow down in Florida, and now that we got this little dude right here, as I'm shaking his hand, you can't see this because it's radio and podcasts and all that, but hey. So yeah, Tim Tebow watching the CFL. We're going to keep you posted. I'm going to keep everybody posted on that one, whether or not the rest of the Off the Crossbar crew likes it or not, because I hope he actually comes up here and happens to maybe just, you know, play for the Edmonton Eskimos, but that's a personal thing for me. So season starting, while we have my wife and son over here, let's talk to them about the NHL season starting, because there's one topic that I'd like to go over. It has to do with a little something that we talked about a little bit earlier. My wife is pointing to my son's butt, so I'm guessing that means that he's got a diaper that needs to be changed.
Yes.
All right, so she's going to go change his diaper.
I'll be back.
She's going to come back, and we're going to talk about something. Right now, though, I'm going to give you kind of my thoughts on the subject, and because I talk loud enough, my wife will easily be able to hear from the other end of the house in my son's room. A couple weeks ago, Adam spoke with a gentleman who was doing kind of a little movement, or a big movement, because they had a fair amount of people that, you know, signed up for it and whatnot, called Just Drop It, which, what it boiled down to was a bunch of people saying, for every game that you take away from us, we're going to take away one from you. We're not, you know, we're basically not going to watch. We're not going to go to that game for the same number of games that you took away from us. They picked a date. I honestly, off the top of my head now, can't remember exactly where they got that date from. But it was every game past a certain point that they're favorite team missed, well, they were going to not watch a game of that team. So I think it ended up being somewhere between 10 and 15 games that if you signed up for this Just Drop It movement, that you will be missing from this season. And considering it's only a 48-game season, 15 games is a pretty damn good chunk. You're missing over a quarter of the games if that ends up being what it is. But hey, if you signed up for it, all power to you. I hope that you stand by it. However, being the negative and skeptical guy that I am, I guess you could say, I'm willing to say that 85% of the people that signed up for that movement probably aren't going to adhere to it. I believe our very own Adam O. Wells signed up for it, and I don't want to say he's not going to follow through, but I feel like he's going to be watching Saturday night. I can't confirm that, especially considering he's going to be listening to this show tomorrow at work, and he'll totally be able to not watch Saturday night just to spite me. But I feel like Adam's going to be watching Saturday night, and I'm all but certain that he may have signed up for that thing, which right there totally doesn't adhere to it. And obviously living in this city, if you don't know what I do for a living here, I'm a radio producer. I co-host a drive-home radio show in the afternoon. I produce a mid-morning talk show as well. And every Friday we kind of do a sports talk show, so to speak. And in this city, it obviously comes down to hockey. And, you know, you get to hear a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, I'm done with this NHL crap. I'm tired of this, tired of that. And, you know, if they come back, I'm not going to watch and all this kind of thing, which was also a sentiment that was echoed quite a bit throughout the country, I find. But, man, I really feel like it was super strong here in Montreal. And I believe if you go back and listen to the interview that Adam did with the head of the Just Drop It movement, I believe he even said that, you know, 75% of the people that signed up for it were totally from this city as well. So, you know, you can tell that people were pissed off. However, we're what, the 17th, 2 days before the start of the NHL season, and there were people lining up as of 5 o'clock this morning outside the Bell Center for entry to an inter-squad Canadians game.
It was just a practice.
No, it was an inter-squad Canadians game is what
I
was going on.
Yeah.
Well, it was a practice/inter-squad game where it was like the red against the white team. Yeah. All the other teams have pretty much done theirs. You know, Pittsburgh did theirs the other day. I think it might have even been televised. Pittsburgh, Toronto did theirs. Vancouver had theirs as well. And, you know, because there's no exhibition, this is kind of a good way for coaches and GMs to decide, okay, who's sticking around in terms of our younger players, and, you know, a good way to finalize the roster because, hey, it's in 2 nights and we don't get any exhibition games. But yeah, it was minus 15 today.
Yep.
In the city.
Yep.
Early this morning, it was below minus 20. Now, that's Celsius. I cannot convert that to Fahrenheit for anybody listening in the States, but it's damn cold. Okay. It is really cold today. If it would have been tomorrow, not as bad tomorrow. I think it's only going to be about minus 10. But today was freezing cold. So much so that when I got into my car to leave work today, I had to scrape the inside of my car. Not just the outside. There was ice buildup on the inside of my car. That's how cold it was today. And there were people lining up for like 12 hours before the damn thing started. I think at like 6 or 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That
the lineup went around the building almost. And this is also from the same city that, you know,
super pissed off when it was gone,
super pissed off saying that, you know,
oh my God, I'm so
the NHL is the devil. Gary Bettman should be burned alive and all of this stuff. And yet here's the city embracing the Canadians as if nothing happened.
As if it's a regular beginning of the
season. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
it's incredible because, you know, we talk hockey often here, and I love all sports. Like, don't think it for any second right here I'm just a hockey nut. I watch every sport on the planet, and I'm a big baseball fan, for as weird as that might sound, coming from a guy living in Montreal. Yeah, love baseball, big Red Sox fan. And in terms of disappointment when it comes to sports, you know, prior to 2004, man, Red Sox fans, we know what disappointment is like when it comes to sports. And, you know, we may complain about the Red Sox every year, but we're always, you know, come like 1:04 p.m. or 8:04 p.m. On game days. Like, there we are. We're watching the Red Sox play. And it's not the same thing that it was here in this city. You know, we're disappointed in the Red Sox when they lose. Like, this year, they sucked. They were terrible. And, yeah, like, I hated the Red Sox for the team that they have put together. But the hatred that was coming out of the city towards the entire league, because it wasn't necessarily geared towards the Canadians. It was the entire organization of the NHL. And there was some really nasty stuff going on. You know, businesses have closed this lockout. There was a bunch of businesses that closed last lockout. But we've already heard a couple businesses that had to close their doors this time around because they have relied so heavily on the NHL season that they just couldn't do it. Even my son is upset now. He's through the roof on this. Man, does he have another scratch on his face, or is that an errant hair? Sorry. Sorry, is it way more important than the show? Is the quality of my son's looks right now. But man, people have flocked back, something fierce. There was a, you know, part of my job is a news guy as well. So, you know, I read a lot of stuff, whether it be sports and regular news. The Canadian Press did a poll of the average Canadian hockey fan, and less than 25% of the people said, I will watch less games this year. For a country that hated the lockout and hates Gary Bettman and everything that this guy does to this game, not even 25% of the people who were polled by the Canadian Press could say, I'm going to watch less games this year out of principle for the whole thing. It's pointless. And at the same time, everybody complains and, you know, bitches and moans about the way that the owners in the league treat the fans. But at the end of the day, they know they can. They know they can, you know? Yeah. You know, like, yeah, and you know what? Like, the owners themselves know what they can and cannot get away with. I believe it's in Florida or something like that. I believe the Panthers are giving away like 200 free tickets to the first X amount of games. I can't confirm that, but that's what I heard through the grapevine. That as a thank you to the fans, as an apology to the fans, they're giving away tickets to the game. Awesome. Like, that's pretty cool. And, you know, other teams around the league are doing the same thing. Like, they're trying to win back the fans.
Here in Montreal,
Skippy Molson and the group that owns the Montreal Canadiens, you know what their thank you was to the fans and what their... big.
A price hike on the tickets?
They opened up the practice facility so people could come watch the Canadians practice. Like, that's pretty much all they did. Yes! Like, they essentially invited fans this time. Instead of just being like, oh, well, you know, we're practicing here. They invited the fans out to a practice. Something that's free anyway. Unless somebody wants to, you know, totally write to me, james@offthecrossbar.com, and let me know if Skippy Molson's actually not a douchebag, or, you know, if they're actually going to do something for Canadians fans. But until I hear otherwise, they're not giving away anything free for the fans. You know, they might have a T-shirt for Saturday night's game, like a thank you or something like that. You know, they might give them a free Coke. I don't know what, but they're still going to charge $12 for a beer. You know, like, maybe that could be their thank you. Maybe they'll drop concession stand prices. I doubt it. Yeah, but no, Skippy's not going to do that. Molson's going to keep charging $12 a beer. They make like $8 profit on those beers. But yeah,
I'm sure the beer is cheaper than $4 a beer.
Well, yeah, but there's like the can and, you know, I'm sure the can is special. Who cares? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that people were pissed off, saying, I can't deal with this anymore. And then lo and behold, as soon as it's back, they're flocking back to the NHL. As if, oh.
Did you really think otherwise?
No, I honestly didn't think otherwise. You know, myself personally, I said, I'm probably not going to go back right away. Like, I might watch some hockey this year. I don't agree with the fact that it's a half season. I think it's a stupid idea. I think it sullies the name of the NHL and the Stanley Cup by having a half season. I don't agree with it. I think it's terrible that the first Stanley Cup that my son is going to witness is not going to be a true Stanley Cup.
Okay, he won't.
I know he won't remember,
next
but
year he'll be able to
forget. I know, but at the same time, it's, you know, the first Stanley Cup that I was alive for.
Your son has about four jerseys. Never mind how onesies and bibs and pajamas that are all Oilers. That you will never even see an Oilers game this year.
Yeah, that's fine, but that's not the point. It's more just, you know, the first Stanley Cup of his life isn't a real Stanley Cup. You know, that's not something that anybody really cares about. But myself, like for me, I look back. The first Stanley Cup that I was alive for was won by the Edmonton Oilers.
Aww. It would have been cute if they won the Edmonton Oilers.
The first Stanley, and so for me, like that resonates with me. That is something that I'm 28 years old and I still carry with me like every day. Like I was born in 84 in June, just after the Oilers won their first Stanley Cup. So I wasn't technically alive for that one, just like he wasn't technically born yet for the LA Kings. The LA Kings won the Stanley Cup on June 11th, just a few days before he was born. So he wasn't here for that one, just like I wasn't here for the Oilers 84 Stanley Cup. But I was there. I was alive, despite the fact I had no idea what the hell was going on. I was still able to look back and figure out who won the Stanley Cup, and like the year I was born, and then figured out, okay, well, I wasn't born yet for that one. I was born for this one. It still ended up being the Oilers. Here I am, 28 years later, and I'm a diehard Oilers fan. Has nothing to do with the fact that the Oilers won the Stanley Cup that year, but that is a cool fact for me. That's cool. And he may not enjoy hockey growing up. He could be a regular, non-hockey-loving guy. He could be into basketball. But for me, the year that he will know the Stanley Cup, it won't be a real one. And that bothers me. That really honestly bothers me.
But I'm glad they're back for, like you said, all the businesses and to get this. What bugs me is the fact that they had all summer they could have figured out all their before the season started.
Well, it's not even that they had all summer. They had all of last season.
Yeah, they had plenty of time. There's no reason to do a lockout and destroy so many.
They had plenty of time. And if you look at...
Yeah, they're stupid. Like, everyone doesn't really know what it was for. They make tons of money no matter what.
If you look at the amount of time that they spent arguing, and then you look at the amount of time from last season plus the summer, there would have been more than enough time to get the deal done had they started talking earlier, but they didn't talk early. They essentially waited till the season was over before they started talking about stuff. Why they did that, I have no idea. Why they didn't just put in a temporary, okay, we'll extend the current CBA by 1 year, keep talking, and we'll deal with this as we go, and not kill any of the momentum that they had, not piss off any of the fans. You know, they could have just done that. They could have simply just done that. And, you know, from there, the whole CBA thing and the whole negotiations between the union and the league, no side is technically at fault, but no side is technically not at fault. Like, they're both to blame and they're both not to blame all at the same time. It's one of those situations where basically both sides are jerks, and the people who really lose out of it all are the fans. And yeah, the fans lost, but the fans don't seem to really care.
And who really lost are the small businesses.
The ones who ultimately did lose are the small businesses that have had to close shop. And there have been a number of them, not just here in this city, but across the country. Maybe I don't know about the states because... And my son just slammed his head against the arm of the chair because my wife's not paying attention to him.
No.
But I don't know how it has been in the States. But I know, you know, here in Montreal, everybody talks about, oh, you know, well, Columbus is a terrible hockey city and this and that. There was a bar in Columbus that would use the video game NHL 13 to simulate Blue Jackets games on the nights that they were supposed to happen for the season. The bar was genuinely packed for those nights. One night, so, that the, I believe it was the radio announcers for the Blue Jackets, came down to the bar and called play-by-play of a simulated video game of the Columbus Blue Jackets against the Vancouver Canucks. And yet people outside of Columbus, throughout Canada, ignorant hockey fans, as I like to call them, will say that the Columbus, that the people of Columbus aren't hockey fans. But in reality, like, they really are. And the people here in this city are really just Canadiens fans, and they will do anything for the Canadiens, it seems. Like, I don't want to use the analogy of, like in an abusive relationship where they always constantly go back. But that's kind of what it seems like. And, you know, that's... What do you want, man? I know he's tired, and he just slammed his head on the thing. So that's been what's going on here. I'm shocked, to be honest with you, with the complete about face that the city has taken over the last like 2-3 weeks, in terms of their general hatred for the NHL and their absolute love for the fact that it's back. It bothers me, but, you know, there's a lot of things in the world that do bother me. Joining us in studio now, our cat Casper. It's about 8:30. He probably wants some food, so you might hear him in the background meowing from time to time because he's genuinely always hungry. That's kind of how he works on that one. Everybody's been talking. What's going to happen? I know that's been a big big discussion on, my radio end of life. Every time I'm at the station, somebody will ask, who do you think's going to do this year? What do you think about the Canadiens and so forth and so forth? I don't know. It's a shortened season. It's hard to tell. And at this point, as one of the Leaf fans in the office put it today, right now, everybody has an equal chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year. And until those games start playing out, you never actually know. You know, but I still feel like there are some fairly good constants in the NHL this year. We went over them last week, in who I think here and there. If I did have to pick a preseason Stanley Cup favorite, I believe I said it last week, I'll say it again this week, the LA Kings are my choice to repeat as Stanley Cup champions this year, especially with Jonathan Quick and Nets. That dude's a machine. We're about half an hour into the show right now. I don't have much else to say. I was actually thinking of something a little bit earlier today in terms of general discussion points and whatnot. And I thought back to... It was this past year on my on Big Earn's birthday. I bought us tickets to go watch the Alouettes and Eskimos play, who are two CFL teams. Big Eskimos fan, and my dad just likes football. Like he just likes going to football games every once in a while. And we were having a discussion on. It was kind of related to little Duder here, and kind of related to myself and my two brothers. In the sense that, was I going to try and pass on the love of the Edmonton Oilers on down to this little guy here? And you know, right away, everybody automatically assumes, oh yeah, well, you know, you're just gonna make him an Oiler fan. Obviously, he's got a bunch of Oiler onesies, as you said. He's got the jerseys and everything like that. Yeah, and that's fine. And you know, I'm an Oiler fan, so everybody automatically assumes that he's going to be an Oiler fan. But you look at Big Earn, and you look at his kids, and himself. You know, if you've ever seen Big Earn or if you've ever heard him talk, you know this guy is a diehard Red Wings fan, has pretty much been that way his entire life, I like to think. But he didn't force that upon anybody. I cannot speak for my older brother. He happened to grow up a Red Wings fan. But I don't know how that situation worked. I don't believe for a second that that my dad forced that upon him or even in any way whatsoever coaxed him into being that way. Yeah, possibly. Maybe that's how it ended up. Back in 1980, I don't think it was easy to find Red Wing stuff anywhere. Because 1984, the only reason why you could find Oilers stuff back then is because of Wayne Gretzky. That's about it. Well, yeah, but it was mainly just because Wayne Gretzky was the hottest thing going in anywhere. And so around the time that I was born, you know, the Oilers were the biggest thing going. And, you know, so it's not technically that much of a surprise to find out that, hey, I grew up an Oilers fan. But at the same time, you look, well, Adam and Kairos were both born at the same time as I was, and they both grew up diehard Canadiens fans. But, you know. Well, you know, growing up in Nova Scotia, are you going to like the Nordiques? I mean, come on. Nordiques? Come on. Nobody likes the Nordiques. Even people in Quebec City don't even really like the Nordiques half the time. So you had me growing up an Oiler fan, and you had my little brother, who actually technically grew up a Canadiens fan. Now he's a big supporter of almost anybody, really. Like that guy seems. I believe his major allegiance lies with the St. Louis Blues right now, but I can't even honestly confirm that. if he at any point is listening to this, Matt, by all means, man, tell me who you're rooting for, because I can't tell you. My older brother now is a Canadiens fan. You know, I think he still likes the Red Wings. I know he likes the Canadiens. And me, I'm an Oiler fan, but at the same time, you know what? Go Bruins. And
you just like Edmonton and Boston, too.
Bruins, that's awesome. Well, yeah, like I'm a big fan. I go by a lot of my favorite teams have to technically do with the fact that I really like that city, you know, which is really kind of funny because I hate the Celtics. Go figure. I hate the Celtics.
Yeah, well, you're not a big basketball fan.
I know, but I hate the Celtics. I think it's more because I really just don't like Kevin Garnett. But that's a whole other story. If you watch basketball, I hate Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce, pretty cool guy. Kevin Garnett, hate him. With a passion, almost as much as I hate the San Jose Sharks, and I really hate the San Jose Sharks. But yeah, so I'm a big Edmonton fan. I'm a big Boston fan. But let's not forget the first Stanley Cup final that I have any kind of actual childhood memory of was the 1990 Stanley Cup final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Boston Bruins. So that is my first childhood memory of the Stanley Cup, of the Oilers against the Bruins. Messier captaining the Oilers to their first Stanley Cup without Wayne Gretzky, to which I always bring up that fact when everybody says, oh, well, Gretzky was better than Messier. Yeah, well, guess what? Messier won a cup without Gretzky twice. Gretzky, not so much. But yeah, so when it comes to little Duder over here, obviously it'll be cool if he grows up an Oiler fan because it'd be really fun to go to Oiler games with him. And then ultimately when we move to Edmonton and get season tickets to the Oilers, it'd be great to have him tag along with me in his little Oiler gear going, go Oilers, number one, like, go Jordan Eberle, go Taylor Hall, go RNH, go Nail, all them guys. You know, put one in there for me, Schultzy. That'd be fantastic to have them there, right there with me, you know, right on the glass at Rexall or wherever they decide to build the new arena, if they build a new arena, which they so deserve. It'd be great if that was the case, but at the same time, like, I'm not gonna force that on him. There's other things that I plan on forcing on him, but allegiance to a hockey team, not so much. You know, he's gonna grow up with a lot of exposure to the Oilers, kind of like how I did. I grew up, like I said, in the era of the early Oilers dynasty, so Wayne Gretzky paraphernalia was just about everywhere. So I grew up in a very despite growing up in Montreal, I still grew up in a very Oiler-centric era. And he'll grow up not necessarily in an era where the Oilers are the best. You never know, though, because with the young guys that are coming up right now, he could grow up with the Edmonton Oilers being the best team in the league. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. But
all we know is that he has a picture frame, and the picture frame says, "I'm told I like hockey."
Yeah. Yeah. And for all we know, he could end up being a basketball star. Because at this rate, dude's going to be like 6'10". I have no idea. He's either going to be a basketball star, you know, it'd be super cool if he played volleyball, because I'm a big volleyball fan over here. I told you, I'm not just a fan of hockey, or I'm a big fan of all sports. Played volleyball quite a bit in my youth before kind of completely destroying my knees. That kind of keeps you from playing volleyball in any kind of competitive form. So yeah, Lisa, who do you have in the Stanley Cup this year? Who's your pick of all 30 teams in the league? Yeah, I want to know who you've watched a fair amount of hockey. You've heard me, yeah, but you've heard me talk a considerable amount about hockey. You have, for the average wife of a hockey dude, you've retained a fair amount of knowledge.
I'm going to go with the Lightning.
The Lightning. Good call. I like it. I'd like to see that happen. Stevie Y.
Can I just remember when they
won? Yeah, they back in 2004, right before the last lockout. yeah, so the Lightning. There you have it. You have it on record. James's wife, Lisa, says the Lightning. Bragging rights, because nobody else picked the Lightning. But hey, you never know if what's his name, Anders Lindback, there ends up being a stud starting goalie. That could happen. The Lightning are a pretty good team. They proved it 2 years ago. Last year they tanked it, but 2 years ago, with the good goaltending that they had from old Rolly the goalie, conference final against the Boston Bruins, and you know, gave them a good run for their money. Well, hey, who knows? Who knows? They get past the Bruins in that series, maybe they win the Stanley Cup for a second time. You never know. And if Le Cavalier can play properly and St. Louis and Stamkos keep up their good work, yeah. Lightning, that's a legitimate pick.
Awesome.
Who are they going to beat? You got to pick a team from the other conference now. Well, all the teams in the West. You pick a team from the East. Pick a team from the West. I'm not going to name your options because you're just going to pick the fourth one that I name. Come on. Anybody. The West. Anybody west of Toronto, essentially. Except Winnipeg, they're in the East. I know, it's stupid. But yeah, anybody west of Toronto, name a city west of Toronto, and you'll probably name a city that has an NHL team in the Western Conference.
All I'm thinking is Vancouver, but I really don't think so.
Oh! Well, that is a team in the Western Conference. You could have named Calgary, Chicago, Columbus, Detroit.
Then you go Chicago.
No. That breaks my heart. I hate you. I didn't say anything about Chicago this morning on the radio. I haven't talked about Chicago. Maybe it was Friday last week. All right. While my wife sits here confused, feeding our son, I think that's about it for this evening. I don't really have anything else to go over. The guys are, you know, they should be technically off the ice right about now. So I could give them a call on one of their cell phones. But I don't care. that was the off the crossbar sound right there. That's not what I was meaning to play. Because that's it. We're done for this tonight. Happy opening season if you're stoked for that. Myself personally, not so much. I'm going to keep a little bit of tabs here and there on the Oilers. Still keeping tabs on my OKC Barons. I believe Colton Tuber is the man that I want to be sending out a big congratulations to. I'm trying to double check that right now. Because I feel like it was Colton Tuber that was named to the AHL All-Star team. Congratulations to you if it was in fact. You know, because obviously Jordan Eberle, Justin Schultz, Taylor Hall, and all the other guys. Mark Arcabello, actually. Congratulations to you. Colton Tuber actually was just sent down from Edmonton back to AKC. That's why his name was in my head. But it's Mark Arcabello was just recently named to the AHL All-Star Classic. So congratulations to you on that one, because don't worry, I ain't going to be forgetting about the AHL, despite the fact that everybody else on the planet has. Hopefully the Barons can get out of the current slide that they're in. They haven't been faring too well since the boys left town. But you know what? They honestly weren't faring that well while the boys were in town. It just means they're losing games by a larger margin now because they don't have as many guys there to score. I'm hoping that Timo Hartikainen does in fact make the Oilers squad this year. I believe he's passed a good amount of time in OKC and proven that he's got some good chemistry with the rest of the Oilers that were down there. So hopefully Timo Hartikainen will be up in the NHL. If not, I will enjoy watching him with the Barons because I enjoy watching that guy. I think he's a hell of a hockey player. That is it for me. For Lisa, Casper, Nate Dogg, and Adora, who slept through the entire episode. My name is James. Kay Ross and Adam will hopefully be back next week. If not, you'll get me rambling for about another 4 to 5 minutes, which I believe is what we did this week. In the meantime, though, thank you so much for joining us. Go check us out, offthecrossbar.com. Big thanks to Back Sports Page for bringing you this episode each and every week. In the meantime, though, you guys have just gone off the crossbar.